This is a lecture by L. Ron Hubbard given on the 4th of March, 1972. The title of this lecture is Hold the Form of the Org, Part 1. This tape is 64 minutes long. Reproduced by Golden Era Productions.
All right, this is the 4th of March, AD 22. And an establishment officer lecture. And the name of the lecture is Hold the Form of the Org. The essence of an organization is postedness. Our organizations are built of people. And we're not trying to turn people into machines. And we're not trying to do a lot of other things you someday may be accused of trying to do. But I can give you an analogy, that is, say, something similar, a similar example. In a motor, electric motor. Now, the power of a motor, as you will find in, I think, 880, depends upon the base. It does not depend on the terminals. It depends on the base. It is the thing that holds the terminals apart and holds them in position. That is to say, the bottom plate of the motor, the concrete floor of the plant on which the motor is built. Now, in the field and world of physics, this has been totally neglected as a factor and is a new factor in physics. And I would just love to talk to Mr. Newton about this. Because it would have been, we would have had a ball. A guy as bright as that on this subject, Lord knows, the man might even have gotten some motors. Anyway, it's the base. And that stiff base, rigid, holds the terminals apart. And you get a positive terminal and a negative terminal. And the fact that motion occurs there, cutting that field, is what generates power. But if it weren't for that base, and let me call to your attention, if it weren't for that motion, this is not in 880, there wouldn't be any power generated at all. So, let me show you what can happen in an org. We say, well, we have a tech sec, so that's handled. And we've got some auditors. Good, that's handled. Now, that's fine. And we've got a DP. Oh, that's nice. And we're doing all right here. So really, there isn't any real reason to have a establishment officer because we do have and Ed, who is holding HAS from above, and I should think that's adequate. And then we have a treasury sec. I read it someplace in an orders of a day here someplace. Last year we appointed one. And the stats go down, and they go down, and they go down. Well, there's two errors built into this. There's one guy who is triple-hatted, and triple-hatted onto the wrong post. The Ed, of course, is a product officer. Positive terminal crossed over into negative. So there are going to be some interesting short circuits in his skull. There's no base of the motor. In addition to that, we inquire into it a little bit further. This is one of those funny ones. When you're managing on a long-distance communication line, you see some of the most remarkable communications come through. I kept nagging an org over telex one time. But do you have a supervisor? Oh, yes. Look, do you have a DMP? Oh, yes. Everything? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I couldn't figure it out one way or the other. And time marched on. And every one of these cats was quadruple-hatted. And the least of their posts were these two production posts. The least of their posts. See, the guy's the treasury sec and the DP, and they... And, you know, that was just beautifully obscured. I remember, because it really now, no exaggeration, it went on for months. Trying to find out why they never audited anybody and why they couldn't teach any students. Now, in a time like this, you can imagine the most hideous reasons. They're all a bunch of traitors. What are these things, you see? Well, I'm not even telling you that posts shouldn't be double-hatted. But when a post is double-hatted, make sure that it's double-hatted onto the same pole. You could probably double-hat two production posts, but don't ever double-hat a production and an organization post. He's the DP and the ESTO of the tech division. Da! Now, the proof of the pudding is the eating, to coin a cliche. And one of the most remarkable points is that these P's, since time immemorial, unless they were very, very good indeed, have never really been able to establish the tech division. It has only been at very rare times that you found a DP who was a sufficient, well, Mary Sue Hubbard, for instance, can do that. The second she moves off the post and puts somebody else on, splat! Now, what is the strange mystery back of it? It's a positive and a negative terminal without any base. Now, I'm not trying to strain at this or give you this as the sole reason. I'm not even really talking about double-hatting and triple-hatting. I'm just talking to you about the form of the org. Now, supposing, yes, we have a tech sec on post, only he's not on post. He isn't even double-headed. Now, you keep wondering about which hat the fellow, and I wonder if we shouldn't teach him and send him in to the main org to get his OEC and so forth, or train him up somehow. Then we find out he doesn't come to work. That's after we trained him. He doesn't even have a job anyplace else. He just doesn't come to work. Tell you, so that's too incredible. That's why you never notice it. Because it couldn't be. But the substance of it is, he is not on his post originating the actions and productions of that post. And it doesn't mean that he has to sit at a desk all the time, because some of the motion there is him moving. So he's not really a rigid terminal, and there the similarity breaks down. But he is on that post. Now, supposing he is on the post and is apparently very busy, but no production happens, then he is what you might call a DevT merchant. He doesn't really do the duties or produce the products of the post he is on. Now, there are probably dozens of ways where he could not be on post, beginning with post not filled, and he doesn't come to work, and going on up through rather rarefied points, such as he gets pulled off his post by having to establish this, that, or the other thing in order to get some production, which would be a rather innocent thing. They actually run through the gamut of all sorts of misdemeanors, crimes, errors, and so forth. But there are innumerable ways for him not to be on post. One of them is to be double-hatted over to a establishment post. If he's the production officer, then he's double-hatted over onto an establishment post. Well, he has to establish things a bit so that he can get some production. Yes, we can tolerate just so much of that. And you know, the funny part of it is you get tired. He'll get upset. He'll get this. He'll get that. He'll get the other thing. It isn't something that is easily done. And in addition to that, yeah, produce, establish, it's not too easily done. There is a way to do it, and you should know this as part of your kit. If a guy is going to occupy a production post, and he's going to do establishment actions, then the trick way to do it is to compartment the day very rigidly. Now, there's an LRH ed that says this. It gives so many hours divided, the day is divided up, and he's to do these various actions. It was written before the product org officer's thing and is not a model of this. But he's to put in 2 hours a day, I think it says, on these organizational actions between the hours of woof and woof. That's legitimate. As long as he doesn't scramble his traffic, he'll make it. I'm going to organize all morning and I'm going to produce all afternoon. Yeah, well, for God's sakes, do so. But you got to have some way to close the door on the organizing traffic while you produce. Now, it's a remarkable thing that my writing hat very often gets backlogged, and gets backlogged very heavily, when I have to undertake too much organizational action. I will compartment it like this, however. I will spend a week or two organizing, and then just move off those lines, and then spend some time producing directly. So there's another way you could do it, but it's all under the heading of time compartmentation. I can hear you now saying, I have no objections in view of the fact, I'll tell you the tough beef for an establishment officer, not here, but in a little pipsqueak org that has totally green staff and can only afford, and it really can't afford those, and it can't afford not to have them, it can't afford to have them, 2 establishment officers, one senior to the other, and one of them holding divisions 7, 1, 2, and the other one holding divisions 3, 4, and 5, and 6. Oh, wow. Because the other people in the org, there'll probably be just as many people in the org at the beginning as there are establishment officers, you see. There'll be 2 establishment officers and 2 org staff. Is how do you carve up their hats? Well, time compartmentation is the trick. That's perfectly all right with for you to be the CO all morning and audit all afternoon. But it is not all right for you to be the CO or Ed and an auditor. That is not all right. It is not all right for all hands, let's say the six auditors got together and formed up an org, and you've got an establishment officer and he's trying to sort this out. It is all right for you guys to audit all afternoon and evening, providing you do your administrative work in the morning, providing it gets done. One of the ways you triple and quadruple and quintuple and hexapuple, meaning eight hats, is to give a guy that many basket sets and put a big plain label on each one of the basket sets, and then insist that some time portion goes on to each one of those baskets. The time portion is absolutely essential if you're going to double or triple hat anything. Now, the knucklehead that will be distribution sick but hold success in testing by just going down the org board and holding success in testing needs one of these electroencephalographs that the psychiatrists use. They connect the electrodes into the meat of the brain. You would have to go that deep to find out how anybody could be that goofy, because what's happened? He's abandoned a post. Now let's get back to where we started here. The abandonment of any post and not doing the duties or functions of that post while holding the post, or having the title and doing something else, or not doing, and so on, disposes of one of those terminals in the org. And there won't be any spark, and there won't be any power, and that is that. The lights will go out, not just for that department or division or org. They will go out for the guy. And he just won't know what the heck this is all about. The earliest material on this that I recall offhand is the middle 50s. There's some kind of a policy letter of wearing an org board, wearing a comm basket on your body. And do you know that a fellow who doesn't have a comm basket will go off post? And he won't, that is to say, he'll go home in the evening or something like that. And he takes the whole thing right along with him, even if he isn't carrying papers in his pocket. And he's sort of the comm basket. It's a very funny phenomenon. By just putting an in-out tray there with the post title on it, you immediately will get some relief off of somebody who feels rather hard-pressed. Now you say, that isn't very much to do. Well, it isn't very much to do, and it's magical. Now, what communications you receive go into that top basket, and what communications you put out go into that bottom basket. And let's not have any of those communications appearing in the drawers or under the blotter. And just that. Now, when a guy is multiple-hatted, he can go mad unless he knows his hats, because it's the unknown hat that comes up and wraps itself around his neck. He is not alert to the fact he's wearing that hat, and that's the one that bites. That's the one that wraps around his neck. That's the one that's absorbing all of his time. But really, the one that's making him irritated, something on the order of bypass charge. So when you see somebody who is just getting awfully desperate one way or the other, remember that there can be BPC on a post of an unknown hat. And the remedy for that is you have him sit down and write down a whole list of the hats he wears. Now, what do you know? A DFP, although he thinks of himself as the DFP, if he is running a somewhat isolated unit from the main org, can have, by actual count on a past DFP, 35 hats. Now, every post has some hats in addition to the hat that is expressed on the org board. Oh, there was all kinds of hats. So this person was doing tech paging, and they were doing selling, and they were doing this and that. But there were 35 separate hats, and when she sat down, we didn't do anything about this but just list them. And as soon as they were all listed, why, she was much happier. We didn't even put up a comm basket for each one of these hats because they weren't really hats to whom anybody communicated. But they certainly had to be done. And it was great relief. It is something like writing the list of what is your hidden standard. So it is a trick for an establishment officer when he sees somebody very, very, very... have him sit down and write down each hat he wears, regardless of what it's called. Let him invent the name for the thing. And he will wind up with a very interesting list. And the FNBD item will be the one he never suspected that he wore that hat. What do you know? So the next time he gets upset, a month or two later, make him do the same thing. You can run the process ad infinitum. Now, the org board is the base. That is the base, like the concrete floor on which the electrodes and so forth of the motor sit. That is the base, as far as you're concerned. So long as that base transmits itself over to the concrete or wooden floor of the building the org is in. Now, if you notice, an org board flows from the left to the right. And if you don't watch it, guys on the left side of the org board will fly on down the org board. The flow lines of an org board are very strong. And in a big organization, you can actually watch this phenomenon. Not only will the executive fall down vertically into his department, but also he will flow horizontally. Now, the org board is built that way to flow the public. Now, because it flows the public, what do you know? The erosive action of the public flowing by, and it is a sort of an erosive action like a river going through a plain will eventually cut a gully or a canyon. It always pulls off a few rocks off the edges of the canyon, takes them along, that's staff. And you can actually will notice that staff will flow down the org board. You can take anybody who has been running a sort of a single-handed, God help us, no establishment officer organization, you can make him list his hats and spot exactly how far he has flowed down the org board from the executive division. God help him if he's gotten all the way to six. What are you basically involved with at this particular time? What are you involved with? That's what you would ask. Now, you could ask any one of those executives this, or you could ask any of that staff, and they will always give you something over to the right. Now, when the HCO went out, they sort of take bodies to HCO. But when the org board flows down, it leaves a sort of a vacuum in HCO. and the org can't quite work itself back up to HCO. Now, that's very symbolical, but has some truth in it. Just abandon it. To hell with it. HCO isn't going to do anything for us. To hell with them. That's it. Yeah. Well, we better get some staff of our own, I guess. I don't know. Somebody. Well, these PE students here. Any of you guys want to work in the distribution division? You'll see Treasury coming over and saying, anybody on this PE course has any accounting experience that like work in New York? You know? Scrounge, scrounge, scrounge. Don't think that doesn't make dev teeth. Do you see what's happened? HCO has flowed down the org board and sort of hung itself on everybody else down the org board. Do you see that? So a whole division can flow from left to right. Now, I'm giving you materials. I don't know the degree that they were written up in 65 and earlier. But there is a lot of oddity, a lot of phenomena concerning an org board. And I'm just giving you bits and pieces of it. The policy letters you can read for yourselves. It's all in policy. I don't know that all of this was expressed about flowing, because boy, does it flow. Now, if your staff is unposted and unhatted, it will become a rock in the stream with the greatest of ease, and they sort of blow. They'll go right on down the org board and right off the org board and fall off the org board, and that's that. In other words, they're inadequately posted. They're inadequately hatted. They're inadequately stable. They don't really know what their job is, so they sort of go into sympathy with anything that comes down the stream. Dug them down the stream. And they cut my throat, and they did this and that, and they ruined me, and so on, and I want my money back. And the next thing you know, our treasurer says, oh, gee, this, everything is terrible here, and so on. The guy might be just lying in high C. Let's just see, they'd have really no way of knowing that, because the guy doesn't really know kind of what it's all about, and it's all confusing. But the confusion begins at home. If he's confused on his post, anybody can confuse him. So the public traffic that is naturally confused, just in themselves, and if you have a confused staff, why, the staff goes into little whirlpools and flows on down the org board and boom, off the org board. And you won't be able to man up the org board. Now, the org board itself should express itself on the floor of the org. You say, well, then the ideal org building would be something that had a big three long buildings that would be the executive division, and those three buildings would be in sequence, and then it would have buildings which are HCO buildings, and then it would have buildings which were DSM buildings, and then it would have accounting sections, and then those would be that, and go right on down to six, and that would be absolutely correct. That would be how the org form should be built. If you're going to build the building. Instead of that, you rent buildings. And when you hire an architect, they've got to get by the local planning authority. And the local planning authority they're mostly monitored by how much they can make a building cost so that their friends who are in the building trade will be paid adequately and not starve the poor fellows. So it'd be rather hard at this stage of the game to actually lay out a building. But if you had a huge concrete floored barn and you didn't know anything more about this or that or the other thing, about what to do, the best thing to do with it is to shoot all of your public lines along one short line with a representation for each division, and then have the working sectors of the division back from the public lines. That was forgotten at St. Hill, so that anybody to sign up had to go up from the back of the castle, down to the manor, over to the old hall, back up. This was points 1, 2, 3. I don't know. I didn't have anybody test it out with a pedometer, which is the miles you walk instrument. But it must have been marvelous. And Mary Sue took one look at it and went, yeep, and grabbed hold of a pen and started marking in the proper public lines. They're all along that back porch of the castle. They're rat-a-tat-tat-a-tat-tat, so as to shorten up the line so the public doesn't have to walk that far, and the terminals that meet the public are all on that line. So that tells you that the org board ought to be a curve. It ought to be curved at the top, inward. Do you see? It ought to be like a dip at the top and the wings spread out at the bottom so that top is contracted and the bottom is long. And you would find that the org board would flow. Now, there are certain things that happen from this place to that place to the other thing, and so that when you mark out an organization, you don't have any neat scene like this. And then your troubles begin, because your traffic and dispatch flow lines are going to crisscross. And wherever they crisscross, you will have interbulence. Just try to shoot two fire hoses perpendicular to each other, the stream of one fire hose going through the stream of the other fire hose, and you get wet. So this is something about the form of the org, probably, which has never been emphasized hard enough. Because we have one org that had its comm baskets, I've already mentioned to you, had its comm baskets in the basement. So that to get from Division 1 to Division 2, somebody had to go to the basement and come back up, and then Division 2, they would have to go down to the basement and come back up. Because this wasn't, I don't think, accompanied by any messenger delivery. So you had several times a day, every member of that staff had to go up and down in that elevator. Must have been an interesting scene. I don't say you can get this disarranged. We have case histories of this being so disarranged you wouldn't believe it. It's another one of those incredibles. Oh, nobody do anything like that. Oh, yes, they have. Now, when an org is housed in two separate buildings several blocks apart, you have trouble. You inevitably will have trouble, because it is no longer a cohesive, a stick-together unit. It develops all kinds of little oddball rivalries and so forth. It's them over there and us over here and that sort of thing. And it's one of the principles that if you've got to spread an org out into several buildings, well, for God's sakes, try to get those buildings consecutive. Now, it can be that you can put completely out of your org only one division successfully, and that is the tech division. You can even split the tech division so that your training, main training quarters, and so that your HGC quarters are in two separate buildings, both of them separate from the org, separate from each other and separate from the org. This can exist, providing you split up your tech services and have PC admin and student admin. And there's one little hooker. and something they never do. So long as a representative of the tech division exists on the in-org public lines. You say, well, who would that be? Well, that would be like the tech division liaison officer. Well, what does he do? Well, he does the tech services functions and the instant DAP functions that would have to be done. It's got to be a representative. And when you wonder why those lines don't flow, it's just because the public line is not put together so it flows. You've got Joe Blow walks from the registrar's office over to tech services or something to get on course. And the number of Joe Blows that get lost off that line, you would be very, very amazed. The routing form won't route. Now, you actually have to have a page or something like that to escort. So you have to make up for this sort of thing with posts that aren't on the org board. So that there's, you never heard of one before, but there's something like a DSEM page. It's anybody leaving the dissemination office. Now, you say that can be made up for with a tech page, and we do have a tech page, but he's somebody who looks up people and that sort of thing. We do have HCO couriers that go around in the org. But bodies have to be escorted. But that's an awful lot of consumption of man hours from a standpoint of the fellow leaves the registrar and has then walked way over someplace for a tech analysis of his case or something like that, and then way back, do you see? And, oh, wow. Take the guy all morning to get signed up. Your public lines ought to be a 15, 20-minute proposition, you see. Well, just make sure that your public line is in consecutive order and is in the order of those terminals that your customer has to see. And you got it made. You got it made. You have to substitute for the big org building in terms of having liaison posts on that public line, and then that'll flow. And then you'll find out your staff won't get swept away and people won't eddy into the place and all that sort of thing. Now, of course, this PC who is undergoing processing, he isn't really on a... That is a service line and is not a public sign-up line, and he can eddy in and out of the... tech services or something like that, all he wants to, as long as it has a reception. So the second you detach a unit, it has to have a reception. Otherwise, its staff will be continuously interpolated. One of the maddest scenes you ever wanted to see is mixing the auditors and the PCs in the same room of the HGC. The auditor's admin room and the PC's waiting room is the same room of an HGC. Those auditors now start getting into trouble. They start running out all of the things that the PC has started to self-audit while listening to two auditors talking about what they ran on some PC. In other words, the cross of communication there is too great. And you start mixing that up, that's pretty grim. Now, students getting mixed up with interns and getting mixed up with auditors isn't so bad, except they get overwhelmed. But they sometimes feel a little bit flattered. But if you've done this, and your HGC and your auditor admin area, tech services, is mixed up so that your students get mixed up with your staff auditors or your public gets mixed up with the staff auditors, you got trouble because it's different types of particles. Now, you've got to do something to separate that out. One of the first things you find out amongst the students, they'll all of a sudden start running Squirrel Tech and studying Squirrel Tech and thinking bulletins are old or something, because the people they're associating with, the staff auditors, are not supervisors. And they will ask them questions, and hold your hat, The auditor doesn't maliciously misinform them. The student just willfully misunderstands practically everything that's said to him. He wouldn't be asking questions in the first place if he didn't have a misunderstood word. So anything he hears after that misunderstood word just goes in one ear and out the other, but leaves a sort of a puddle of alteries. And the next thing you know, you can't figure out, why don't these students learn anything? See, somebody's liable to ask you as an establishment officer this burning question. One of the first things you ought to do is, how much do those students associate with auditors? Is the space the same? And one of the things you can do on one of these things is go around and ask each student who told them this. Who told them this? Who told them this? And you'll come up with the terminal who is erring. You can solve it that way. That is to say, some supervisor's doing his nut because he can't really get it across to the students, or some case supervisor is going mad because everybody starts making the same errors on his intern lines. At that point, it is a job of investigation that you narrow down to one person. But one of the sins in the thing is having the guys in with the wrong people. And tech won't stay straight under those considerations. So that rather serious technical errors can occur by reason of displaced, disorganized space. The only point I'm trying to make. The form of the org is far more important than anybody has ever given it any attention whatsoever. The form of the org, that is a very vague term to most people. It means, does it have a WAF? Did it have a WAF? And did it have a WAF? And does it have some divisional heads? Yes, oh yeah, we've got the form of the org. Ta-da-ba-ba. Where is it located in space? Are those guys who were mentioned on the org board wearing those hats, or aren't they? Is that org board able to flow in any way whatsoever spatially? Can it start any place and end up someplace else in the space of the org? You can get some of the craziest things you ever wanted to see in this sort of thing. Really mad things. Disarrangements of space. You can have a CS in a little cubbyhole 5 buildings away from his auditors. You can have an accounts cashier 6 buildings away from the registrar. You can really have some goofy ones. Now, when you're spattering units all around and trying to fit them into places, the first thing you hold is that public line. That's the first thing you hold. And you don't give a damn how fond somebody is of his office. You know, every time I go back to an organization, it's got nothing in it but executive offices, and there's no service space. An organization depends on its service space, not on its executive space. I always make myself probably very unpopular. I move all the executives out of their private offices, take all their secretaries away from them, put them in one big room, and then give all their space over, and all of a sudden, why, the org goes boom! Not into an explosion, but into vaulting stats. Before that, it was just going downhill, 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 downhill. All the service space was gone. So the first thing you do is you look this thing over from a standpoint of space. What is the space locationness? And can that public line flow? If it isn't close, terminal to terminal to terminal to terminal, it won't flow. And if you cannot fit the office that public line is supposed to have on it there, you put a liaison person there instead of the whole office there. Don't have things missing. Don't have things missing. That's the first thought. Your next thought on spatial arrangement is service space. It is a service org. Give all of its space that you possibly can you give to service. If that space can be given to service, fine. If there's a penthouse in the joint, why, that's fine. You can't use a penthouse for service. Put the executives in there. Service. It is a service org. If it is a service org, that's the service. For instance, we have two large spaces on flying. One is devoted to the accumulation of information and the digestion thereof in the AIDS Council and the dispatch of missions and so on. That is a service action because that's a management org that services. And the other space is devoted to the HCI, which is the students. Those are two large spaces. Notice that those are that they're the only really big spaces that there are as whole spaces around in the ship, and they are immediately and directly devoted. There's one other fairly good-sized space, and that's where you find your HGC qual functions in, and they're always screaming because they don't have enough admin space. I know that. And so on, and there are various things wrong with that spatial location. We just ran out of space, but notice they've got a big space. Now, there's spaces all over the place, and there's even cabins used. There's all kinds of odds and ends of space, but that's what they are, odds and ends of space. That's what you do with them. Now, there are many things that you could use space for. There are many things that could be adjusted and so on. It probably is not optimal, but it has fallen together. But its public lines do not flow well at this particular time. The two reasons why a line won't flow well, unhattedness, spatial dislocation, so that they confuse and cross, and lack of a routing form. You can also have an unreal routing form. And if the public isn't flowing on those lines, you will find it's one of those three things that is out. Now, with an org that is spread all over the place, you don't have to have an accounting unit on the public lines. Let's say there's an accounting unit and it's got two accountants in it, or two account personnel in it, and all they ever do is just add up books and figures and so forth, and add up books and figures. They don't pay out disbursement, they don't receive money, something like that. It doesn't matter where you put it. They're not on the org flow lines that intimately or directly. And in view of the fact that they aren't, they can be given something in the back garden. So you can get rid of units that way. Now, promotion and publications, whereas to their book stocks and where they really write up their magazine and all of that sort of thing, that can be shed off the public lines, but Department 6 registration can't be. But letter registrars can be shed off the public lines. So you analyze it from the basis of what you can shed off the public line and where you can stick it without getting it so confused that Department 4 of promotion is not 100 yards from Department 5 publications, and you'll start to hold together something like the form of the division. It can be spattered around pretty badly, actually, without really upsetting things, providing you use your head. So it's one thing to have that org board up on the wall, and another thing to get it down on the concrete floor. But if you don't, the org will not develop any power. There might even be a lot of frantic motion, but because there's no fixed terminals, It isn't cutting any line to develop any power. Nothing is happening. Nothing is being generated, is what I'm trying to tell you. It'll sure be noisy. Oh, boy. That staff can look so exhausted. It can be so knocked in the head. Ethics officers tearing around the place, and commanding officers or Eds coming down. What is the matter with you people? And finally getting so beaten down they never even move out of their office. See? Divisional secretaries in a screaming fit. HAS, just a huge mountain of paper. They're working. Oh, boy, are they working. Oh, man. The number of man hours are measured in gallons of sweat. And they're not producing a confounded cotton picking, blinking thing, but bankruptcy. And the secret is the form of the org is not held. Has an executive esto or is an esto in any part of that scene? Those are your first thoughts. Form of the org. Now, a staff can be very, very upset by having to pick up all of their desks and move them someplace else, and pick up the desk there and move them someplace else, and pick up central files there and move them someplace else. So don't do it twice. Don't do it twice. Only do it once. So you'd better be doggone right before you lay one out. Now, let me tell you, the data I'm giving you seems very obvious. Then would you please ask why I periodically have to call for the floor plans of St. Hill, Ashel, and other orgs, and sit here and say, oh, my God. Because it violently influences their stats. You can so mess up that spatial locationness in an org that you can crash it. The public can't find its way through the org. Public, damn, the org staff can't. It is actually a very nice thing to have a chart up on the wall showing where everything is, even if you have buildings spread out and that sort of thing. Big public chart with a nice mark on it saying, you are here. One time they were going to build one at St. Hill. It never got built, but it's still a terrific idea. It was a you are here chart that had little lights in it. And you had this bright light that was burning, and it had a list of buttons, and you pushed one of those buttons, and another light went on that matched what that function was. You are here, you want to see the ethics officer. Push the ethics officer button, and a light will go on showing you what building he is in and what office. Now, that is routing, and that comes under routing forms. Routing form also infers that somebody is going to go along a route. And when you go into France, it's very nice for you to have a Michelin map, a tourist map, showing the roads. And you feel very lost and very confused if you don't have one. One signpost says Saint-Nazaire and the other post says Nancy, you know. Only some joker has turned it all around. Or it's blown down. Or there isn't any. I remember my first routing signs of automotive roads in the United States. And actually, somebody had actually managed to make some tin signs and nail them up on an occasional tree a few hundred miles apart that gave the Yellowstone Trail, which went from Montana to California, or went from Montana to Oregon. I think I saw a half a dozen of them, but somebody had really been enterprising. The road, of course, was nothing but a cart trail that followed exactly the old 49er route, ruts and all. There was nothing there. And it was a puncture every 30 miles. That was the lifespan of the tire. That was when America started to get onto wheels. I'm not taking back my boyhood. I don't much care for this boyhood. I got some more interesting boyhoods than that. But I remember vividly the great joy on the VGIs, which would turn up on the adults when they would see one of these battered, knocked apart, filled full of shot, tin signs nailed to a tree. They were very infrequent. It was a great relief to them. They'd found out that they hadn't somehow gotten into Canada or Nevada. The feeling of lostness will cause a turnaroundness and walkoutness. If you want to know why people disappear out of reception, there are two reasons why. One is nobody receives them, and the other is there's no map there as to where to go to be received. So it is something on the order of a touring map. So the public can route themselves to the degree that they have a routing form, to the degree they have a map. Now, it's no good to give the public a routing form for which they have no map. Go from Dover to Calais to Paris to Barcelona. It just says that. And this guy got F in his geography in grammar school, you see, and he doesn't know where these places are. That's a great relief to him. It's an ARC factor. So when you're busy laying everything out, remember that the public is going to be following this, and people are going to be following this who haven't got a ready clue and who would get lost in their own front room with ease. And if you just put that down as a test, then you will know that you have got your routing plans and planning about setting up your routing somewhere near correct. He can't get lost. And you would just be amazed what this will do for the stats, the ease, the comfort, the cheerfulness of an org, this feeling of easiness and ARC and so on. So the form of the org isn't something peculiar, and it isn't some advertised significance of some kind or another. It is something that moves into concrete. And you can go from there down to quarters for which we can pay the rent. You can go from there machinery and equipment. You can go from there to desks. You can go from there to this and to that. But while you're going from down into paying the rent and machinery and the equipment and the desks and the supplies and all of that sort of thing, you're in secondary country. Because if you've got the first one wrong, you won't ever pay for that other class of stuff. And it is something that is ordinarily and routinely missed in orgs. And it is as true for an org of 4 staff members as it is for one of 200. The form of the org. Those guys are on post, they're occupying the post. Now, you find all kinds of shifts like this. We haven't got many people, and we're trying to cover this thing, and we have a lot of other things to do, so we'll only open the public lines at such and such a period, pong, pong, and we'll have the public lines open just during that period. It's a great plan, but the public doesn't get scheduled. People going through those lines don't get well scheduled. Weird things happen, which are offline things, and so on. So if you do something like that, have an alternate route. Have a sign up saying, say, Mamie Glutz. Phone 625-973 or something. There's got to be an alternate route, otherwise the line will jam, because the public does not always stay on between those time periods. And sometimes, hold your hat, it takes longer than that to run the public lines. Well, I'll give you an example that we don't have in the org, but there are such examples in the org. Let's supposing he had to go home and get his birth certificate in order to come back and register. Now, the public line was open, and he was first in line. But by the time he gets out to North Pomona and back again, the public lines are closed. Now, he's back again, and he didn't notice the public lines would be closed after 5, so he's going through the public lines. How do you get him through the public lines? Well, it'll make more DEVT if you don't. It is a service org. The United States government scheduled itself in such a way as the U.S. government first and the citizen last. Somebody walked into London and reorganized the London embassy. Oh, he was quite an administrator. He must have been an admiral in the American Navy. Cristo Bisto, he had that. It was all running fine before that. You went in, you got service and so forth, and you walked out. It was nothing much to it. Jesus God! You got in there, you sat down. A bunch of clerks sitting around doing absolutely nothing, and huge offices inside. You couldn't see them. And finally, after you'd been sitting there an hour or two, you managed to get out of the receptionist with a blackjack that their public lines weren't open till 2:30. It was now 11. Then you came back at 2:30 and found out you didn't have an appointment. Because, you see, you couldn't get on the public lines to make an appointment unless you had an appointment to get on the public lines. It was a genius, absolute genius. You notice their embassies are getting burned and information services get burned at various times all over the world. That's not the natives. So therefore, this public line has got to be workable. The spatial layout of the yard has got to be workable. And now we get down to hatting the people and making sure they're holding those posts. And we get to doing the jobs of the post and knock the DEVT out of the yard. They make sure that the post is producing what it's supposed to be producing, and rat-a-tat-tat-a-tat-tat-tat-tat, and we're off to the races, and we eventually get down to where we can actually make enough money to buy some materials.
This lecture is continued on the next cassette.